All right. Well, if we're ready. Okay. Well, what we'll do next week is we'll take your lesson, Jennifer, and I'll... I may have just some final things to say. These are things that I'm about to say that are the hardest to talk about when you do Sunday school teaching, when you talk about Sunday school teaching, because it's so hard to get people to volunteer to teach Sunday school. And you don't want to discourage anybody. You don't want to make it harder than it already is. But if I were talking to Francis and I was discussing him getting married, I would encourage the dad first to spend as much time talking about reality as long as possible. And then I would really play out all kinds of scenarios and all kinds of things in his mind. So it's not just I'm in love, but it's actually I'm aware of what I'm getting into. And the same thing is true with teaching. So if we need to look at all sides, and I've got two final thoughts, one today and one maybe next week. So I want to today I want to go through what's wrong with most Sunday school teaching. Now, I don't want to scare people. I don't want people to go, oh, there's so much involved with teaching Sunday school. I know there is. I know, and I don't mean, again, as I said, I don't mean to make it so that you feel like it's an overbearing burden, but it is a necessary thing to take our job very seriously. So, let me start off by saying teaching the Bible is a high calling. It is just as important as being a regular school teacher, a nurse, a college professor. It is just as important as people put on having politicians or even having a counselor at school or paying for. All of these instruct others and help them know what is right, wrong, and healthy, and even how to live. But the Sunday school teacher, however, is more important because he or she is actually teaching what most other teachers and people won't teach. And that is that God is God, and that he alone is right and in charge, and that he hates sins and that he must be feared. See, if you're a nurse, you can't say stuff like that. If you're a politician, you can't say that. If you're a college professor, you can't say stuff like that. A regular school teacher doesn't normally say stuff like that. But a Sunday school teacher must say that. So it is a very, very high calling. There are so many things that are working against the efforts of a Sunday school teacher. Think about what's going against you before you deal with your kids on a Sunday. No matter how good you are at teaching, you only have how many hours? 1 hour that you're trying to teach kids at the most. Whereas they've had 35 hours at a national school. You have a few static visuals. Folks, this is Jesus walking on the water. You have a few printed visual, usually, compared to hours and hours and hours of movies and computer games that you're competing against. Your students, your kids in the classroom, your adults, your different age groups will have few Christian acquaintances. Well, they'll come back up. Compared to dozens of unsaved and ungodly friends at school and at home. That's, you know, think about how many unsaved friends and how many unsaved people that the kids are interacting with versus just the small time they get to interact at church. Now, none of that is any reason not to have an effective Sunday school. As a matter of fact, one light can bring a lot of light to a very dark room, can it? So our bit of effort can do a lot of good. So to be most effective, we need to know where the problems are and focus on strengthening them. Let's see if I can bring this back up. Their internet was working great. So, the first thing I want to talk about, the problems with most Sunday schools. If you ever if you ever went to another church and you had to be sat in on a Sunday school class with teenagers or with adults or with kids, you will find these 12, 13 things very wrong. And I hope that you take it seriously that you don't want it to be wrong in your Sunday school class. First of all, no burden for the audience's needs. Most teachers are aware that the children need to know God and they're aware that they need to walk with God and to love God and obey God. But you'll find yourself teaching without a burden for them, without a heartfelt sorrow in your heart, until you see their spiritual needs being supplied. And probably that's one of the biggest things that you'll notice among Sunday school teachers. Some Sunday school teachers have a burden. Thank God. Praise God. They do it as a life sacrifice. But most don't. Secondly, just a second. Are you back?
I think so.
All right.
It's really yucky weather outside.
So okay. All right. First one I said, talking about the problems, no burden. Secondly, the second thing that you'll find out with a teacher and their class is there's no concern about doctrine being taught. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, children believe things. They believe in fairies. They believe in Santa. They believe in aliens. They believe in tooth fairies. Children believe things. And they usually believe the wrong things. They are the doctrines of men, things that are made up. They believe a bunny goes around and lays colored eggs at Easter, or chocolate eggs here in Ireland. They usually believe mainly wrong things. And it is vital that they believe right doctrines. And I'm very clear about doctrine. Like, what is God really like? Children have a strange... If you have 25 children listening to you, and you talk about, and you say, God loves the world. All right? Do they even know who God is? To them, what is the doctrine of God? What are the attributes? What are the characteristics? What are the amazing things about God? So that when you say God, they go, wow. To them, God is a cloud, fog, a blur. They don't know doctrine. They don't know just how perfect the Bible is. So when you hold up the Bible and say, that is God's word, they go... So when we're teaching, we've got to realize that we can't just skip over the doctrine. When I remember my first steak dinner, I was, you know, young like Matthew. We didn't eat steak. Man, we had chicken, we had meatloaf every Tuesday night. And growing up, we went out to eat one day, and my dad bought me a steak. And it was terrible, because I just chewed. I was 6 years old, 7 years old. I don't remember ever having a steak before that. And I'm chewing, and I thought it was the most awful, because you couldn't chew it. It was just impossible to eat. So anytime my dad would say, hey, I'd like a steak, or whatever, I would, and I want to stay away from a steak. We're like that with doctrine. We're like, oh, it's so hard to explain. It's so hard to understand. It's so hard to chew on. I know that. But don't skip over it. Find a way that you teach doctrine, not just your Sunday school lesson. Teach them how bad sin is. When you say the word sin, they need to know what it is and how bad it is. How bad is human nature? Most kids only watch television and they see bullying, killing, murders, rapes. They see anger. But they think it's all on TV. They don't know that people are bad. It's called the doctrine of man. They don't know what perfect, just how perfect justification and salvation is. They don't know how perfect it is. You know, some people think that, you know, when you save somebody from drowning, they think, well, he can fall back in again, and you have to save him again. I'm serious. They have no idea about the doctrine of justification. And what is sanctification? If I asked you right now, Francis, what is sanctification? Could you tell me? Yeah. It's a hard subject. All right? It's got to be taught, because it is one of the most restful truths for the Christian. Salvation is done by Jesus, correct? Sanctification, and salvation is a one-time perfect event that changes your direction. Okay? So I've gone, before I was saved, I was that. I was headed the wrong direction. I was headed to where? All right. Then somebody changed my direction. His name was Jesus Christ. I am now going to heaven. All right. That moment is justification. That moment is salvation. But this process of getting to heaven, now I'm going, no matter what, I'm going. But this process is part of being transformed, not to heaven, transformed or changed to be or become like Jesus. Guess what that is? The process that I get to go through as I'm going to heaven is called sanctification. That's where God teaches me how to be holy, fills me with the Holy Spirit as I yield Him so I can be holy. I'm already going to heaven. Just like no matter what I did, hey, no matter what I did, Martin, I was going to hell, wasn't I? I could be good, I could pray, I could do everything. I was fixed. It was downhill. Ever since I've been saved, I'm going to heaven. I can't change my new destiny, thank God. All right? And God's not going to change it. But on the way, I'm supposed to be becoming more and more like Jesus. That's sanctification. All right? That's not taught by most Sunday school teachers. Because it is deep, isn't it? It's kind of, when would they ever need it? I needed it. When I was a new Christian, I needed to know. What is God doing in my life? Is He trying to save me more? No, I'm already saved. But He's trying to make me more like Jesus. And teaching that is doctrine. Most Sunday schools don't teach it. So, start teaching children. Go to Isaiah 28:9. let's see. Andrew, Isaiah 28:9.
Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast.
Okay. So when you just should you start teaching doctrine, not just Bible stories. Most moms sit down and teach colorful little books about Noah and the animals and how everybody obeyed and everybody loves God. And the child never reads a King James Bible, never is taught using the King's English, never is made to memorize or taught Bible verses because why? Oh, it'd be too hard for them. No, as soon as that kid is away from mama's milk, that's when you can start teaching. God is the creator of the universe. God made you. You can teach doctrine. And we should do that in our Sunday school. Most Sunday school teachers teach terrible, if I could be honest, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But they get up and they say, Esther obeyed God. And she did. But they don't learn that Esther wanted to quit. They don't understand Esther needed a lot of encouragement because Esther almost decided not to, and she even chickened out on the day that she had Haman and Ahasuerus there in her presence and could have exposed him. She said, come back tomorrow. Because she was so scared of dealing with and exposing Haman in case he, came back against her. And the point is, before I lose my thought, the point is, don't be afraid to teach truth. And doctrine, so the kids don't get this idea that the Bible is all sugar-coated chocolate. It's real. Yes, sir, Brother Martin.
You know, it's like God has put into a young child an inquisitive mind at an early age. Now, like with Matthew, I think it was 4 or 5, he just asked questions about everything.
Amen.
He wants to know the answers to all of life's questions that he has. I saw that too in my younger brother, There was a time when he just kept asking questions. Kept constantly asking questions of people. Not that he got the answers.
Yes.
But it's like, I don't know if you've seen that in children. Around 4 or 5.
I think most children are like that.
They have this.
But they just sat down in front of the television and said, here, just feed on this all
day. This is their time. Isn't there?
That's their time where they should just be soaking up about God and about home and family and love.
Built-in God, built-in
awareness,
inquisitive mind to find out the answers.
Yes.
And that's when they should be taught about God.
Yeah, don't be afraid. I'll wait till they're teenagers before I start. I get them a King James Bible. When they're 5 years, my kids all never had anything but a King James Bible, even from the very beginning. They couldn't read, but they had their Bible. And it looked just like Daddy's. And when Daddy read, they opened theirs, pretend like they were reading. And there was no fear. I know they didn't understand. I deal with people who are hyper-intelligent who can't read a King James Bible. So what do we say? Well, let's get them a children's Bible then. No, make them read. All right, so I could be on there forever. Make sure it is not your doctrine, though. Don't just get up and preach your pet doctrines. Some people are all about, we're going through the tribulation. And so they'll teach only their doctrine. Hey, you know what Jesus said in John 16? My doctrine is not my own, but him that sent me. Make sure you're teaching what God says, not what you like to say. So, third thing, no depth in teaching. There's no depth. Now, some people are too deep, you can't even breathe, you know. they're always extremes, but I want to say that in modern Sunday schools, there's no depth. It's easy to teach children that Jesus loves them, that God created everything, that God loves everybody, that we all sin. But it's another thing to teach what it means to sin against God. I always use illustrations. Like if I have two children, I say, all right, I come up here, Johnny. Sean, all right, push Sean, Johnny now. Be that gentle, but just push him. All right, was that nice, Sean? Was that nice what Johnny did to you? No. He pushed you. No reason. Just push you out of the way. That's sin. Did you know we sin against God? And it hurts him and it upsets him. Just like it upsets you if I just came and I pushed you and I laughed at you. All right, what am I doing? Teaching how sin is against God. So that they feel it. Wow, that's what God feels when we're disobedient, when we do our own thing. What does God think of our sin? What do you think God thinks of it? I had a class, it was very risky. I don't say that you should do it, but go ahead and if you feel led to, I brought a cow patty. You know what a cow patty is? It's out of the back end of a cow. Okay. Manure. Okay. Dung. But it's dry, okay, on the outside. Ooey gooey on the inside. Anyway, I brought a cow patty. I said, what is this? And we went, ah, didn't smell at all. Until I broke it open. Now, what did I just do? I said, hey, guys, you can touch this. Don't make you sure. But inside, once you see what's inside, oh, in the room, it was not the wisest thing to do because it stayed in the room and stinked it. But isn't that a good illustration? Of what does God think of our sin? I told my kids, hey kids, I can paint this white. I can put a cherry on top. Would you eat it? No, of course you wouldn't because you know what's inside. But you see, we think sin is pretty, sin. But what's inside of sin? Oh, it makes you want to throw up. It does God. That's what it does to God when we sin. So what have I done? I'm trying to get you to understand most Sunday schools just say sin is wrong, but they have no idea what sin is. They have no idea what you mean by it. What does it mean that God is holy? I mean, a whole lesson on the holiness of God would do a world of good to a bunch of kids and teenagers. What are the consequences of sins? And, hey, your death ought to be, folks, look to the kids and go, it's hard being a Christian. And that's not a complaint. It's a reality. Get over it. If you wanted to be a football player, if you wanted to play for Manchester United, it's a hard life. There's great glory in it, amen, doing that for the world. But when you serve the Lord God, it's going to be hard. That's depth to your teaching. Does that make sense? And that has to be really emphasized. Number D, no authority in your teaching. That is a problem with much of modern Sunday school teachers. No authority in your teaching. Who did I have the last one read? Who is that? Okay, so Jennifer, Luke 4:32.
Maybe maybe the reason why some people don't have authority is because maybe they don't necessarily believe everything that they're teaching. Maybe it's
wow, I didn't even think of that unbelief of what you're teaching. That would be a shame to have a teacher up there not even believing the Bible is the Word of God, not believing in what they're teaching. I would be a very negligent pastor to have a teacher like that in a class. That would be very bad, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. But like maybe they just, you know, are like, oh yeah, God can do anything, but maybe they're not really believing. You know, like how you can have that.
Yeah, maybe they need some depth in their in being taught. All right, but no authority in teaching. Luke 4:32.
And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power.
That doesn't mean he did miracles. His word was with power means what?
He spoke with authority, the
power was in the preaching of the word. They were amazed. This guy talks like it's true. We often are way too nice in our tone. Now, you should be nice in your tone. Don't misunderstand me. Don't go into class and say, folks, I'm sick and tired of these kids, of you kids. No, don't do it like that. They're going to run. But they do need to hear that you're speaking the word of God and that it is... that it is right, in that this is the best, and this is absolute. Sometimes we're way too nice in our tone. At the debate, you would have, Martin, you would not have been happy. I got to speak.
I read about it.
When? Yesterday?
I was in the shop last night and see a front page of the Evening
Echo. I was in the Evening
Echo. Front page. Castor defends what he says.
Okay.
Yeah, you get on the internet.
Okay.
Front page. I said, well, this is great publicity.
Another front page article, man.
An Evening Echo.
Okay.
So I just glanced over and read a bit, but it's on the internet. Check.
Okay, let it be. Wow. Anyway.
I know you're in the audience, and they said something about you, and you stood up. That's what he says.
Amen.
And you defended your position. You talked something about you wouldn't agree with two brothers that married.
That's right.
That's what he said. Yeah.
That's right. Because that was, Jerry Buttermer was saying that we should allow two people who love each other to be able to get married. I said, he wouldn't let two brothers do that. He wouldn't let an 80-year-old man do it with a 9-year-old girl, intent on, you know, Islam and stuff like this. You don't, you have limits. Why do you say that we can't have limits and yet you have limits? There are obvious limits, and I follow the limits of God. That's what I said.
Why do they want to get married? Want to be happy?
They don't want married. They want to destroy. That's the honest thing. They do not like, they are jealous of the fact that marriage and families have been elevated and they feel like dirt. And the reason why they feel like dirt is because they're in sin and they need to be converted.
Yeah. So there's no happiness for the marriage. There's no peace in that.
Oh, there'll be no joy. They claim to be. But anyway, we don't want to go down that thing. But on the no side, the people who were speaking against this referendum were just too nice.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just
inoffensive.
Oh, yeah. Jesus wept, and the reason why Jesus wept is because Christians they're fighting one another and they're disagreeing with one another, and we need to come together. God,
what?
Sit down! Shut up! You're ruining our position. Yeah, it was really sad. So anyway, speak like the Scripture speaks. Sometimes soft and compassionate, sometimes firm and fearful. No joy. Now, children need a balance. They need strong truth mixed with love and joy. Go to Romans 14:17, Francis.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. Enjoying the Holy Ghost.
Amen. It's not about what you eat and you drink and what you're wearing, but about joy in the Holy Ghost. I like that. They need to have joy like that. When they come to Sunday school, it ought to be something they love to do. Make sure it's not only fun and games. A lot of Sunday schools are big on all the activities and all the crafts and things that they do, and they spend so much effort on that. And I think there are so many teachers that are out of balance. They're focused too much on the fun with the children, and adult teachers focus too much on telling jokes and having food-based fellowships. I've been in Sunday school. I was when we were back on a break there a couple of years back, we went to a couple of different Sunday schools where we just sat. And the first 20 minutes, so everybody goes straight to Sunday school many times instead of going to church and having unified service like we do. They go straight to Sunday school. So here, adults, you go in, you sit down, and they have a pile of donuts, and you have tea and coffee, and everybody's catching up. And for a whole 20 minutes, everybody's going around, you want a donut, you want a cup of tea? Great. Yeah, a cup of coffee? Good. Right. How are you doing? Da-da-da-da-da. But this is time they set aside for Sunday school. And then when it's all done, everybody's sitting down to put out the Bible, and then the guy starts telling some jokes and about his wife and about what his kids did and how much fish he caught another week. Da-da. And then for about 10 minutes, he taught. And you go, you know, I came here for an hour and I got 10 minutes worth of stuff. And he thinks that, oh, I don't want to push people. I don't want to take advantage of them. I don't want to, you know, go too fast. Sunday school needs to have fun and games, but they need to be very little compared to the necessary spiritual feeding that we're called to do. John 21:16 says, Simon Peter, feed my sheep. Feed the flock, Acts 20, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Feed them. When you've got that class, that's your main thing, is feed them. Number G, not many laborers. There are not many laborers. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he says, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, Lord of the harvest, that he would then send forth laborers into the harvest. The normal Sunday school is woefully lacking in helpers and teachers. This demands that we constantly pray for the Lord to draw more into the work. So you'll always go, there's not enough of us. That's always the case. H, no goals. No goals. Many Sunday schools are merely drop-off rooms for parents so they can get free babysitting for a little while on Sunday. Here, take little Johnny. I don't want to see him for hours. And they go off to the church, and they go off to fellowship and do whatever they want. And listen, Sunday school has become just a place where you drop off kids instead of this is a place where they're going to walk with God. They're going to experience the Bible. What are God's purposes and goals for your classroom full of children? Do you remember what those goals are? Not just for them to get born again, but so, so much more. And are His goals your goals? Are God's goals your goals for those kids? Number I, no real growth by the teacher. 2 Timothy 2:15, who can quote that?
All scripture.
Study to show yourself approved unto God. Approved unto God, our command that we did not to be ashamed. Rightly divided.
Excellent. So who's supposed to study? Yourself. Yeah. Alright. Sunday school teachers usually grow the most because they have been forced to study and read more than they normally would. But just studying for a lesson is not your own personal growth path. You must feed yourself spiritually. So read your own Bible every day for yourself. Have a dedicated time that you pray every day with a prayer list. Be in church and get preaching and teaching yourself every week. Because a teacher has to personally grow to be an effective teacher, not just be a great speaker. J, no responsibilities of the students. That's a problem with Sunday schools. They don't. Teachers are afraid to give responsibilities to the students, and this is very important. Often, children come to class, and they leave after the hour with no burden placed on them. One of your jobs is to make sure your students have something they must work on because of what you've taught them. They need to correct a sinful attitude. They need to confess a fault to their parents, and they need to repent to them. For example. Say if you're dealing with teenagers and you mention about the smartphones and the pictures on the phones, you need to make it very clear. If any of you have any of that stuff on your phone, you need to right now, right after Sunday school, you need to go right to your dad and say, Dad, we need to talk. And you need to hand your phone over to him and says, we need to talk about what's on my phone. That's what you need to do. Now, will that child maybe get scared? Will that child now maybe be afraid of doing that? Will that child maybe not come back to Sunday school? You don't know. But that's what you've got to be willing to do. And you need to put it on them. You've got to take what you learned about pornography or about responsibility and about sin creeping into your life and say, this is what you must do now. Maybe standing up and being a witness at school and at home, give every one of the kids two tracks and say, I want you to talk to two people at school this week. Will you do that? Put the burden on them. Teach them to praise God and thank Him for things instead of always complaining. And then put the measured burden of responsibility. Put a measured burden of responsibility always on your audience. What did the people say after Peter preached? They're in Acts chapter 2. What must we do? They knew that there's something they need to do. Okay, another problem with most modern Sunday schools is no responsibilities on the parents. Honestly, children are not going to do right without pressure and help from their parents. It's obvious that parents are stressed out and worn out. They need to be reminded of their spiritual responsibilities at home with their children, like having family devotions, like getting to bed early on a Saturday evening, like making sure the children have done their Sunday school homework. Talk to the parents and say, Johnny here is coming to Sunday school and he's sleeping in Sunday school. That's not Johnny's fault. Whose fault is it? It's the parents. Somehow you got to get that in there where they realize, yeah, I got to get my kid to sleep earlier. Okay? And then, like making sure the children have done their work, right? No efforts. No efforts to get more students through soul winning. Luke 14:23. Let's go there. Edward, Luke 14:23.
And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and edges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
You need to take that personally. If you've got a class, you need to fill that thing. God doesn't want an empty house. He wants us to go out, find wherever they are. They might be hiding in a hedge. Compel them to come in. And your class, who's responsible for growing your class? You are. You got to go out and get them. So most Sunday school teachers leave it to the soul winners, leave it to the pastor, leave it to others to go out and find them. Don't do that. That's your class. Kids who come after you've invited them will thrill you.
What can we do there to get more kids in? How can we go out? Because I'm afraid to talk to children because of the laws.
Yes.
How do we compel them to come in?
It's just, it's a byproduct of going out soul winning. When a teacher goes out soul winning and meets a family and talks to the parent with the kids and convinces the parent, I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I want you to know what we do for children and how we teach them and what we teach at our church. And we teach from the Bible. You can trust that it will always be from the Word of God. They'll bring their kids. So you're always dealing with adults. But the byproduct of you soul winning will be the kids will come into class. You can't go grab the kids, I agree. But the idea is you're going out to get kids by talking to parents so that they trust their kids to you. Okay? And they will. They'll go, I met you at the door. You came to the door. You came looking for us. I want to come and hear you. I want to see what you can do with my kids. Okay? That's the way that it works. Why have a Sunday school if it's only for a select few? Filling your class is your purpose right now. Filling with hungry hearts and minds for the truths of God's Word. Don't just teach Sunday school to an ever-dwindling number of students. If you don't evangelize, guess what you'll do? Fossilize. Right? You'll become part of history. Another thing that happens in Sunday schools is you're always doing the same things every Sunday. You don't want to do that. You're singing same well-worn songs. What if you sang Jesus Loves Me every single Sunday morning and you're saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. There's nothing wrong with the song. There's nothing wrong with even singing it every Sunday. But if that's all you do, maybe using the same old visuals, and they go, he used that last week and the week before. Just... new visuals, all right? Maybe you're actually teaching the same lessons over and over. The kids pick up on things, okay? Just mix things up. Surprise the audience. Do things differently from time to time. Make a way so that every Sunday is not the same, all right? No inspiration. It's N. No inspiration. Now, what I mean by that is, you are the teacher. So teach. And by teaching, inspire your audience to want to follow Jesus like you do. 1 Corinthians 1:11. Brother Martin, 1 Corinthians 1:11. Or it should be 11:1. I'm sitting there looking at it. Why doesn't it look right?
Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
That's a good challenge. And then 1 Timothy 4.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Wouldn't it be nice to inspire a generation to pure living, to faith, to having right spirit, giving, in conversation, lifestyle, in your words? The teacher can do that. The preacher can do that. Be an inspiration, that's the idea. A lot of teachers don't realize how important they are, and yet they have no inspiration. They are no inspiration. And then, oh, this is the most serious one, no gospel taught. No gospel taught. We forget the gospel storyline. We forget the message of the gospel. The entire storyline of Scripture is God's loving pursuit of people who run from Him as fast as they can. And who live lives unworthy of His love. That's why it's called grace. Sunday school lessons teach us to be good little boys and good little girls, and God will love us and use us if we're good. But that's the opposite of the gospel, and it is a counterfeit of the worst kind. Children need to understand that God's grace extends to people who are running from Him. And Jonah ran from God. The grace was not because is there, not because people have earned it. You see, the gospel is about the grace of God for people who don't deserve it. And I don't think kids know that. So when you're teaching, don't be afraid to tell the truth about what your section is teaching about the gospel, because then they can relate to it. Not just about obedience. Nothing wrong with teaching obedience, believing, praying, but they need to know, you know, God, that's God's grace, man. He ought to ignore me when I pray. He ought to... Oh, the gospel is that He's looking for me. I don't have to go looking for Him. So, what should we do? Very simple. Here's your list. Ask God to constantly give you a burden for the audience's needs. Lord, what are my kids? What are my adults? What do my teens need? Be very concerned about teaching doctrine. Not just people and things. Work on depth in your teaching. Ask loads of questions of yourself. Say, what does this mean? What does sin mean? Do kids know what that means when I'm saying those words? Use authority in your teaching. Enjoy teaching. I mean, the kids need to know that you're not being dragged, kicking, and screaming to Sunday school like they are. Don't only have fun in games. Have some, but not too many. Pray for more laborers. Ask God to give you somebody to work there with you faithfully, and for others to come and join. Constantly set goals. Say, Lord, I don't want to have a numeric goal. Particularly, I want to have spiritual goals for Johnny here. Johnny, I think Johnny can be saved. I have the goal to see Johnny saved. I have the goal to see Sally baptized. I have the goal to see... what's another name there? Emer's mom and dad to come out to church. Set the goals. You say, all right, I want to teach these kids how to bring their parents to church. How to get their parents to come. How to pray for their parents, or whatever. Grow as a Christian yourself. Give responsibilities to your students. Not too many, but at least one thing to do every week. Give responsibility to the parents. Make the effort to get more students coming through soul winning. Don't always do the same things every Sunday. But be an inspiration and make sure the gospel is the main focus of every lesson. Okay? Any questions? That's a lot. It's like putting a lot of bricks in your backpack. Like, I have to carry this thing. But you know, if you were going to be a nurse, what would they tell you? You have a lot of responsibility, don't you? Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a member of the Gardaí, You have a lot of responsibility. There are a lot of things that rest on you. You have to do things right. If you're going to do anything in life, there are things that push you and constrain you and make you different than you are naturally. And that's okay. You need to carry that with you. But thankfully, you're not doing it by yourself. You're doing it with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're saying, God, I can't do this. Amen. Good. Rule number one, admit that. And rule number two, spend time in prayer saying, Lord, I know you've asked me to do this. I know you're calling me to something I can't do. So fill me, enable me so I can do it, and God will help you. Okay? All right. So next week we'll get Jennifer. She'll teach a lesson via FaceTime here. And then I'll start to review some of the things. We have 2 weeks until our final. So it's the 16th of two. We have next week is
the second,
and then the ninth is right. So second, we have the second and the ninth, and then the ninth will be a review of everything. I will go through the entire series and tell you what is going to be on the final, so that you can review that. Okay. And I don't think there's anything else that everybody is supposed to be doing. Yeah, that's all right, except for you've already taught. Oh, you've got to turn in three lessons, remember? You only had to teach one, but I need to see all three of your lessons in 3 weeks on your day of final. I need you to hand in, you don't have to give me the visuals for the other ones, but I need to see an outline of three lessons, one for children, one for teens, one for adults. Okay? You can email that to me, whatever you want to do, but I need all three of those outlines.
Just outlines, right?
Just outlines. Just to see that you did study, that you made sense of it, and what you can say, and that it will actually take you 20 minutes to teach, 20 to 30 minutes, okay? Everybody okay? All right.